It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hands.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, where this week we are joined somewhere thereabouts in the vicinity of Coventry City's parade bus by our championship correspondent, Karan.
I mean, vicinity is a bit of an overstatement. I'm still a bit way away, but yeah, definitely closer than you.
two train changes on the famously unpredictable British train system should get you to Coventry, Karan.
Yep.
This is Tariq joining you along with Karan on this championship special episode. We have our championship correspondent. We are at the fag end of the championship, Karan. I mean, we have a couple of playoffs to go to obviously find out who the third team promoted will be. But we have called you here today to take our listeners through the madness that the championship can be. I remember at the beginning of the season when we recorded an episode, we talked about your interest in the championship and the fact that you would be following the season. By the end of the season, you were, if I understand correctly, on three different screens following.
I was. I definitely was.
Following three very key games at the end of the season. But before we get into all of that, we'll start with a quick overview of what went down in the championship. Karan, if you could give us a quick sense of what the table looked like at the end of the season.
Well, end of the season, Coventry kind of, you know, took the title, deservedly so. I mean, scoring 97 goals is absolutely insane. That's like double than basically almost two goals per game. Ipswich Town, you know, managing to get the second automatic qualification spot. Millwall, the team everybody loves, managed to get the third spot, along with the Southampton number four and Middlesbrough finishing at number five. Although the real talking point was that final playoff spot, which was absolutely a mad 90-minute
yeah,
period.
So we'll talk about that. And of course, at the tail end of the table as well, there was some interest. Exactly a decade on from when we recorded an episode celebrating Leicester's title win. And in fact, that's one of our most listened to episodes, Karan, because I was going through the stats the other day.
I remember that episode because I still remember where I was when I was recording that episode. This was a time when I was in Noida and I was in my office building in one of the conference rooms.
So
in a previous organization.
Well, since Karan has moved to Hong Kong and then to London, meanwhile, Leicester have since moved to the championship and now obviously been relegated from the championship after finishing second to last, which of course came with its own baggage. And we'll talk about that, Karan. But first, let's talk about two things at the top of the table. Obviously, number one, a quick word on Coventry, outstanding performance back in the Premier League after 25 years. Quite an incredible story. The club that has gone through a lot of hard times, ultimate rebuild. Yep. And you had somebody like a Frank Lampard at the helm, bringing them back up with, like you said, a season for the ages, because they were scoring 2+ goals a game. They were scoring... Well, their average points total was more than 2 points a game. 97 points in the championship is a pretty incredible tally, given how punishing the schedule is. And remember, the teams have to play 46 games and not just 38.
100%. And it's not just that. I mean, 46 games plus whatever cup runs any of these teams go through, you know, with the League Cup, the FA Cup, all of that. At a fraction of the budget that Premier League clubs have, and at a fraction of the squad size as well, which is an absolutely insane achievement for Coventry. And right. I mean, to be fair, that's something that every club in the championship goes through. But considering that Coventry, like you mentioned, you know, scoring two goals per game, 95 goals. But another thing that we actually miss out on when we look at the goals for, when we pay attention to the goals for column, is that they've only conceded 45 goals in their 46 games, less than a goal a game. And they have a goal difference of 52, which is 19 ahead of the team in second place.
Ipswich in second, yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously,
it's absolutely amazing. And I think Frank Lampard has just done a brilliant, brilliant job. And I think in many ways, things didn't really work out for him when he was at Chelsea. I guess probably you could say to some extent it was a bit too early for somebody like Lampard was just in his early days in his managerial career, but I think he has really, really done an amazing job at Coventry.
And of course, the championship is this thing where, like you said, clubs have limited resources and are fighting for spaces, and they're looking for that opportunity to get to the Premier League. Obviously, Coventry and Ipswich Town have made it. And then you have those four teams in a scrap where they have to go through the playoffs. Those playoffs are underway currently. I think Hull, Southampton, Middlesbrough.
Southampton and
And
Middlesbrough, yeah.
of course your favorite team Millwall will be in it. We'll come to Southampton Middlesbrough bit in a moment, because there is some Jason Bourne
Millwall
James Bond level stuff happening in that fixture as well. But which obviously raises the stakes a lot. So on the final day, Karan, I think we had three teams eyeing that number six spot, which would have put
Yes.
them in the playoffs. One of those teams, of course, was AFC Wrexham, the Welsh team, which, of course, has been making a lot of headlines for A, those three back-to-back promotions that they've gotten and almost were on course to try and land a fourth, almost impossibly so. They were fighting with, I think there was Hull and there was Derby County on the last
Derby
day.
County, yeah,
So
Derby County, yes.
describe for us, Karan, what was happening on that madcap day when you had three screens around you
Oh,
during these three games?
boy. Well, I think you're painting a slightly wrong picture. I didn't have three screens around me. Unfortunately, I'm not that sophisticated. It was just basically one screen and a remote, which I just kept
Toggling
switching the screen,
between.
switching the channel to. I was very old school that way. I didn't have the ability to probably use my laptop for one, my phone for the other, and the TV for the other, because I just moved into the new apartment that weekend.
But nonetheless, so tell us about these adventures in toggling between three
Oh boy,
games.
yeah. It was quite insane because we had three teams, Hull, Derby County, and Wrexham, who were basically separated by 1 point, right? And it was and with all games taking place simultaneously, as it always does on the final days, it was quite a thrill ride. At some point of time in that 90-minute period, all three teams were in that
Number
in
six
that
spot.
you know golden sixth spot to kind of take them over the line to the playoffs. It all started with Derby, who actually took a lead very, very early in the game, but then ended up conceding two goals in the second half to Sheffield. Hull, in fact, conceded early, but then they rallied around to kind of get the win against Norwich. And while all this was happening in between, Wrexham had also taken the lead at 1 point after conceding first to Middlesbrough, but then that ended up drawing 2-2. And one other thing that I failed to mention was there was a period of around, I would say, 20 minutes when each time a goal was scored in a game, I would switch to that game and immediately a goal would be scored in the other game. So for a 20-minute period, I kept missing the goals that were being scored and I kept choosing the wrong game.
Welcome to whatever the opposite of gold rush is.
Exactly. It was like it was almost I felt like I was almost cursed for in that 20-minute period. But it was absolutely amazing. And in the end, Hull's winner also was, I would say, kind of a dodgy decision. By the way, there's no VAR used in the championship. There was talk
Somebody
that they could maybe
somebody tell
look
West
to
Ham that.
maybe there is. Well, I mean, you never know. Next year, those that could work in their favor. But yeah, but either ways, I think there were talks that they would look to kind of introduce VAR from the next season onwards, but that's been turned down, which I think is kind of. I'm thankful that the championship done it
Yeah,
because I
again,
think
it's
it's we can all agree that VAR has kind of spoiled the emotion of football.
because like you mentioned, Karan, that the championship indeed still embodies a lot of what local British football is about. These are not clubs which have a
100%.
huge global fan bases. They are very locally rooted clubs. Coventry, of course, a great example of that, and what you see around them now that they've won the title and have made it to the Premier League kind of shows you that. And obviously, I think you mentioned on the group when those games are going on that you were not too keen on seeing Wrexham make that leap.
Nah.
Not least because we don't want more American money in the Premier League.
Exactly.
Which again strikes at the heart of what the game of football is about, and how absolutely wild it can get, which, like you're describing, on the last day for just that number six spot, it got that wild. Of course, we have teams number three, four, and five, and six battling it out for that one shot at, the most expensive final ever, which is whoever wins this is going to the Premier League. And no wonder we have a situation where Southampton have been accused of spying, because why would not anybody try to take the least bit of advantage that they can get in a match like this? So no wonder all sorts of norms are being stretched while it comes to those games. But of course, we'll bring you the drama from the playoffs, perhaps once the playoffs are over. Amazingly, I think the first legs have produced no goals. And again, these are cagey affairs all the time. And
Yeah,
it would
I'm
be.
sorry. One point that I forgot to one point that I forgot to mention with Hull getting the final spot, right? They hadn't won a game in their previous six attempts in the championship. So basically, that game, the last round, the last game that they played was the one that they had to win because that was their last chance, and they managed to win that.
So they basically in seven games they had one win, and that was a win that mattered and took them over the line. Well, over the line for now, they will have to obviously win a couple of more games before they're able to make it to the Premier League, which brings us to the last point, Karan, and the sad one at that, which is of course the relegation of Leicester City. Paint for us the picture of how we got here, because as a pod, we probably talked about Leicester City, their title season, perhaps a couple of seasons after that, but then they've sort of fallen off the radar. We have not really discussed as much about them. But in the meanwhile, a lot has been happening out there, and
Absolutely.
it's an unfortunate story throughout.
I mean, Leicester is like is the Leicester story just defies any sort of logic because just when you think that something is not possible, both in a positive and a negative sense, it happens, right? In every way. And I'm not just talking about, them winning the Premier League. Even if you go all the way back to how they very narrowly missed out on promotion one season and then in absolutely extraordinary circumstances to Watford
Famous
with that late goal,
game against Watford.
famous game against Watford, to then actually managing to kind of get promotion the next year, basically kind of almost being relegated. I think it was at Christmas they were down and out, and then they managed to kind of survive and then win the Premier League and then make it to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. And they were about, if I remember correctly, it was again a very dodgy goal that that was given against them against Atletico Madrid in the quarterfinals.
Ah yes,
They
Atletico
came
Madrid and
very
dodgy goals. That's a different episode altogether.
and I remember and it was insane. And if you think that isn't enough for an absolute page turner of a novel, they go and miss out on the Champions League on the final day of the season on a couple of occasions. Then I think then even tragedy struck with their chairman passing away in an unfortunate helicopter crash, and it's just insane. And with all of this, they managed to actually get themselves into some financial trouble, get themselves relegated, and then they get a 6 points penalty on the back of those financial troubles. So just in very brief, what they actually pulled off was that there was a breach of profit and sustainability rules. Where in terms of when they were recording losses, I believe the season in question was the 23-24 season, if I'm not mistaken. They were basically report they overspent again, which is on player wages and player transfers, which is one of the most common mistakes that club make, who eventually find themselves in these sort of situations. And the problem wasn't just the fact that they were overspending on player wages, but then the fact that they got relegated meant that they were losing out on that extra Premier League TV revenue money. So, which basically meant that they still had very expensive players on their payroll who they were obligated to pay as part of their contract, but they did not have the Premier League income anymore. So then things just started to spiral, and I believe they had to take a couple of loans out from Macquarie, who are the banks who were kind of funding them. So yeah, and then it all ended up with a 6 points penalty being levied against them, and now they find themselves not in the Premier League, not even in the Championship, but in League One. So I think it's just when we think the Leicester story comes full circle, the circle just starts to widen a little bit more.
Right. And like I said, Leicester do seem to be just doing things or getting into things that are odds of 5,000 to 1, whether it is winning
Exactly.
the Premier League or whether it is somehow managing to slide into League One. And of course, we'll be keeping an eye on the championship itself. We will be bringing you the conclusion to whatever happens on those playoffs, Karan. And I'm guessing you in the 26-27 season would continue to follow some of those championship teams.
Oh yeah,
While
sure. Absolutely, absolutely. Unfortunately, my team still didn't do well. QPR.
I was about to say that QPR will be in action next season, while their neighbors and rivals, who we have talked about previously on the pod quite a lot, Brentford, have been doing great. They are in the top six or top seven currently of the Premier League. But we are not here to discuss the Premier League. So, Karan, quick word of prediction, and we'll of course come back to this. But from those four teams now, who do you see as the third Premier League club after Coventry and Ipswich Town?
I feel it would be either who was it? I think I my money's on Middlesbrough for sure, because throughout the season they were one of the more consistent teams, and they should have actually, ideally, at one point they were the ones topping the table, but they kind of fell off a little bit over the course of the season. But I think they have enough quality to manage to, get that final spot.
Right.
So yeah, my money's probably on Middlesbrough. It would be nice to see Millwall in the Premier League, and if it so happens that West Ham do manage to survive, it'll be fun to see a Millwall West Ham game in the Premier League. I don't know if that's ever happened before,
But
because they always find they always seem to find themselves in the
differently.
opposite leagues every time.
Okay. So we'll see if any of that happens. Of course, would it not be an absolutely bonkers story if Hull City were somehow able to pull it off after the run they've had? But that's the championship for you. There's drama at every step, and we shall be covering some of it. But next week, I think once the full panel is back, we'll also be training our soccer sense meter and soccer sense scope on the Premier League as well. But that's all the time we have this week for the championship. You can go ahead and find the subscribe button to this podcast somewhere underneath Ryan Reynolds' vintage whiskey bottle in Wrexham. So if you can find it, do subscribe to us or wherever you get your podcast from. Meanwhile, this is Tariq signing off along with Karan.
See you guys.
See you next time.